I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Here again, these final words from our gospel reading, just read a moment ago. Not that I think you have a bad memory, but just for the sake of our own ears and attention today. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So after this transcendent, almost unimaginable, difficult to describe mountaintop experience, there are two instructions from two different voices. Listen to Jesus is the first voice, who is also, by the way, the Son, the Beloved. And then this Son, the Beloved, Jesus, says, don't tell anybody. So I don't know about you, but I would have a hard time doing this. That is, not telling people about it. Of course, I also have a hard time listening to Jesus, but that's another sermon, perhaps. I'm sure Peter had a hard time doing this because he can't help but speak, even when he doesn't know what to say, as our gospel said. He didn't know what to say, so he said something. God bless Peter. But of course, eventually, people did talk about this. The disciples did talk about this. This is one of those moments that is included in all three of the, what's often called the synoptic gospels, Mark, Luke, and Matthew. John liked to do his own thing. But Mark, Luke, and Matthew recorded this event and record it very similarly. In these accounts, Jesus shines in all his glory, and then he comes back down the mountain with these two instructions. Listen, and don't tell anybody. And then it's from here that Jesus, along with his disciples, are thrust back into the stuff of life and ministry. From here, Mark's gospel, because Mark wastes no time with frills, continues to go back into saying, and then this happened, and then this happened, healings and teaching, and of course, arguments amongst the disciples about who was the greatest, and discussions about suffering that was to come. There's this moment of glory and transcendence and beauty, and then there's the return to the stuff of life. Now, this story itself actually stands kind of halfway in Mark's gospel between two other, shall we call them, revealings of Jesus that have similar elements to them. We read about the first one when we began this season on the baptism of Jesus, as we recorded Mark's account, or as we retold Mark's account of Jesus' baptism. If you remember, there were some similar elements. Heavens are opened up. There's a dove descending. In our story, there's a cloud descending. There's a voice from heaven. Of course, in our story, it's a voice from the cloud. And a very similar phrase, you are my son, the beloved. We hear that at his baptism, and yet again hear that here at the story of the transfiguration. And then there's also this connection with Elijah. John the Baptist is talked about as being connected with the ministry of Elijah. And then in our story, Moses appears with Elijah, and they're just having a conversation with Jesus. You know, like that happens. But I said that this is a story that stands in between two other revealings. There's the revealing of Jesus at his baptism. There's this revealing of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then there is also a revealing of Jesus as the Son of God later at the end of Mark's gospel at the crucifixion. Some have noted some similar elements. that there is an engagement of the heavens. The heavens, instead of there being voice coming from heaven, there is darkness that comes over the land, and Jesus is the one who cries out with a great voice, saying those words, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? That instead of there being brightness, there is darkness. And there are even some people who think that in those words where that Jesus calls out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, some people say, oh, he's calling to Elijah. So Elijah gets a third appearance in Mark's gospel. And instead of the voice from heaven declaring that this is my son, the beloved, there is a Roman soldier that cannot help but exclaim, truly, this man was the Son of God. Three appearings, doing three different things in John's story, or in Mark's story, rather. As we are in a time of a transition in our church calendar, we are entering into this time between revealings. We've gone from baptism to transfiguration, and now as we just talk about transfiguration, we move toward the final revealing of Jesus at his crucifixion. We move from the mountaintop of the transfiguration to the valley of Lent to the hilltop of Golgotha. And Jesus tells his disciples on this mountain, don't share anything about what's happened until after I've been raised from the dead, until after this final revealing. It's a really interesting thing to say. I think in part it's because this transfigured Jesus, as beautiful and as majestic and as stunning as he was, it wasn't a complete revelation of Jesus, not yet. There was still a third revealing to come. The Jesus who would be handed over to death would rise again. The glory of transfiguration is the glory that comes before difficulty and before challenge and before suffering. It's not the full picture of who Jesus is. It's not the full picture of who God is. This is important for us because the God we love, the God we serve, is most fully revealed in Christ, and specifically Christ crucified and resurrected. This is why we prayed at the beginning of our service that we would be strengthened to bear our cross as we come to view the glory of Christ, that we would be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. That Jesus is captured for us in our gospel today, that Jesus is one glory, and yet there is another glory that is still to come in this journey, the glory that comes by means of the path of difficulty, of suffering, of darkness, of loss and pain, and God raising Jesus up with the scars to prove it. How is this good news for us? If we are to be changed, if we are to grow into God's likeness from glory to glory, then we can know, as much as we want to be like Peter and set up camp at the mountaintop experience, that that is not the destination. But also, neither is the valley the destination. Our spiritual journey takes us from the highs to the lows, through the lowest, and to be raised up to new life again and again. So where you are right now, God is present with you. God is being revealed to you, and it is also not the end. So I know a couple weeks ago I talked about the ills of social media. You heard me talk a little bit about a rant about that. And yesterday I got to experience one of the good parts about social media. Did you know that there are sometimes good parts? At least there are for me. And one of them is that because, especially earlier in my life, let's say I posted a lot more than I do now. interpret that however you want to. But there are times where, you know, Facebook has those, that memory feature that comes up. That, to me, that's one of the nicer things because it reminds me, oh, right, that happened. I had forgotten about that. And so there was one that came up about 3 years ago. So if you could take your mind back to 3 years ago, we were still in the midst of the biggest challenges of the pandemic. Vaccines were just starting to become available. We were just starting to get a glimpse of what, you know, some newness could look like. And I was, mostly at home and had been for a year with a newborn who at that time was almost going to be one. And I was tired. I was still in seminary. I had actually just started here as an associate at St. Peter's 3 years ago, and was kind of experiencing the overwhelm of life. And my Facebook post simply said these words over and over again: "This isn't forever. This isn't forever. This isn't forever. This isn't forever." You know, hashtag tired dad, hashtag, you know, home all the time, you know, all those sort of things. And it brought me back to those feelings of that time. It was hard. I mean, we all had our own difficulties during that season of life and in the year leading up until that. But it reminded me of that good news. That was a valley moment. And not, I don't mean because I started here at St. Peter's, so I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. It was a challenging season. There was a lot going on. But it wasn't the end. And in fact, God was doing work in me and my life at that point to help make me, I hope, I pray, by God's grace, a little more like Jesus than I was. It's good news for us that the mountaintop experiences aren't the only things and that the valleys aren't either. This week, I've spent a lot of time talking with people who I would say are kind of in between the glories. Last week, there was a tragic death in our Ellicott City community, a death of despair, death by suicide, a young person. I've heard this week of other parents and grandparents who have been themselves mourning deaths of despair, grandchildren who have experienced overdoses, who have suffered from various forms of mental illness. You know, I've gotten messages from you all, as you did for me, tested positive. It's challenging. Surgeries that are on their way, upcoming, or people who are recovering from them. I've experienced that in my own family, illness, some family challenges. My family's home today because my son's not well. Again, you know. So I need to be strengthened. You need to be strengthened to walk this path, to bear our cross, to walk this path in faith. We need to be strengthened to make it from glory to glory, I think. And we're not strengthened by platitudes. This is partially, I think, why Jesus says, don't talk about this glory moment until after my death and resurrection. Those who have experienced loss and death and heartbreak and have come through it, have experienced that experience of being unmade and remade, they tend to know how to speak about things differently. They tend to not be the ones to speak in platitudes. I wrote it here, bumper sticker fluffy condolences. I have some feelings about this, apparently. You see, because if Peter and James and John came down immediately talking about the glory that they'd experienced on this mountain of transfiguration, it would have been incomplete. Because right after that, and we get this in Matthew's telling of this story, it's actually right after that that Jesus tries to explain, hey, there's going to be a path of suffering, and I'm going to be betrayed and handed over to the religious authorities to be killed. And that's when Peter says, never, right? And then gets rebuked, right? And gets called Satan. Not a great moment for Peter. But it's a reminder for us that we don't just carry these mountaintop experiences as if they are the destination. They are things that help us through the valleys. They're the things that help us keep walking. They're the promises that we hold to that remind us that this is not forever. And perhaps there's something to Jesus saying, or this voice saying, listen, and Jesus saying, don't speak, that reminds us that we might just need to say less and listen more. Consider that a challenge for some of us this Lent, taking on the activity of active listening rather than speaking, especially about things that we don't know or haven't experienced. But better yet, when it comes to our listening, let us take some time to listen to him, to the one, the beloved, the one who knows what it is to bear a cross, the one who knows what it is to feel alone, the one who knows what it is to feel disappointed, to feel rejected, to feel misunderstood, to feel loss, pain, to feel God-forsakenness. As Jesus says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Perhaps this is an invitation for us to listen to Jesus and to listen through the voices of our suffering siblings, those who are in pain, those who are in the valley. So my hope and the challenge that I feel in this time of Lent is to attend to the voice of Jesus in those ways. To allow him to speak to us, even now, of God's love and God's presence amongst us, wherever we are in this journey from glory to glory. And trust that as we walk, as we listen, as we look in faith to the one whose glory includes experiencing and overcoming the worst of things, that we also might be changed. Amen.